The reading this morning is from Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and we're going to read through till Mark chapter 11, verse 10. Be on the screen as well behind me, but obviously the Bible's in the pews on page 1015. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway, and they untied it. Some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest."
Thank you, Stuart. As I've said on more than one occasion here, before I speak to you, I'd like to say a few words. And the few words I'd like to say before we begin to look at this passage that Stuart's read is that some of you may be aware that over the last 12 months or more, the Baptist Union has gone through a period of radical change. The union is always changing in many ways, but this is quite a big change. A lot of people were made redundant because of financial constraints, and the whole union was reorganized. And the net result was that the two top key positions in the union, that of general manager and general secretary, were basically combined. And the existing two people who did that felt they couldn't carry on and doing that particular new role. So a new general secretary was appointed, the Reverend Lynn Green. Now Lynn, in fact, has a formidable task of doing basically two jobs. This week, we were informed by those at the union that Lynn had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And therefore, the notice has gone out to all Baptist churches with a request that we pray for Lynn, particularly on this Sunday morning. And no doubt my friend and former colleague John Clayton will be praying for Lynn tonight, but particularly I think this morning we will be joining with probably all Baptist churches in praying for Lynn. And I want us to do that now, and as we do, we'll widen our prayers to think of those who also are ill at this present time. Let's pray together. Father God, we do thank you for all that you're doing in these days. We thank you for the blessings of knowing you. We thank you that your kingdom is coming. And we do thank you for our own denomination. We thank you for all that the Baptist Church is doing in these days. And this morning, Lord, we particularly pray for Lynn, as this diagnosis has been made. We pray for our healing, that you might experience this healing now. And we pray that you'd bless her and encourage her at this time. And we think of those working at Baptist House who will have to fill the role that Lynn is having to undertake as she goes through the period of treatment that she has to have. We ask for your blessing upon them. And we do think of all those, Lord, at this time who, even in our own fellowship, are suffering through illness. And we pray your healing upon them. Be near to them and bless them and encourage them. May they be assured that you are the great healer. And we just ask that touch from you this morning, Lord. So we offer to you our prayers in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, this morning being Palm Sunday, we begin the last week in the life of Jesus. The four gospel writers devote a significant amount of time in their writing about this last week. Clearly, they thought it was the most important part of Jesus' life, and therefore they devoted a lot of their gospel to the last week. Mark in particular, in the Gospel of Mark that we're looking at this morning, Mark in particular has done this. Remember, Mark was the gospel writer who ignored the birth of Jesus, didn't write anything about the birth of Jesus, went straight into the teaching of Jesus and developing the kingdom theme of our Lord. And in fact, all the way through Mark's gospel, we find that he's building up to this final week. I want to paint a picture this morning. I am swimming. Amazing. I am swimming. Sometimes under the water. Occasionally out of the water. Way out from the shore in the Atlantic Ocean. I couldn't even see Miriam. Now, what sort of picture have you got there? Well, here's the actual picture. I'm actually swimming in the swimming pool on board the cruise ship that we were on. We out in the Atlantic Ocean, far from shore. Miriam couldn't be seen because she was at the other side of the deck sunbathing. I've got to leave that up for a moment because I thought I'd inserted a blank slide so you wouldn't be looking at this all the time, but I'm afraid I'll have to stay up just for a moment or two. You see, there's a fuller picture. The impression we got straight away was of someone swimming out in the Atlantic Ocean. Well, yes, there were. But not quite in the way that we expected. I've been reading through Mark's gospel in recent weeks and months, and what I've noticed in Mark's gospel is that he often ties in different passages to give a fuller picture. And sometimes if we just concentrate upon part of the gospel story, and not look at the fuller picture of what he's been saying in the previous verses and in the subsequent verses, we miss out a little bit in what he's trying to tell us. And I believe this morning we need to look a little wider than this simply the story that we all read about on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Because there is a wider context. And I hope to be able to share this with you this morning. Mark seems to put several different incidents together in a particular order to be able for us to see a wider picture. And therefore, I want to look at it in three aspects this morning, and this is where I can get rid of that picture. And the three aspects are really cries, cataracts, and cloaks. Now, I picked cataracts because that's the nearest sea I could find to blindness. But actually, we're thinking about blindness. Cataracts actually are one of the most significant, if not the most significant, cause of blindness these days. But blindness didn't meet in with the three C's I want to share this morning with you. So I want us to think in those sort of terms. First of all, cries. Well, Palm Sunday is a day when we think about crying, shouting, Hosanna, praises to God. And the excitement of the praises. When I sit down to prepare a sermon, my usual task is to go and get one of my old diaries. I've got plenty of old page-a-day diaries. I used to use them extensively in association in college where I had to write a lot of notes if I was in a meeting, etc. So page-a-day was significant as far as I was concerned. And these days, that doesn't happen. There's very little in the diary. And therefore, I use up these blank pages for writing down my initial thoughts in sermon preparation before I begin to type it up, etc. And when I turned to the first blank page that was available, I noticed the date. It was June the 15th, 2012. And the entry in the diary was simply Olympic torch, 2 p.m. And I thought, I remember that. I remember the torch coming through Whitley Bay. I remember it passing the front of our house. I remember the crowds. I remember the excitement. I remember those that were shouting. It's a great day. It's a great day of celebration when the torch came through. But you see, Palm Sunday was an even greater day long ago. Because there were those who were shouting, those who were crying out, those who were praising God, shouting out this word, Hosanna. Now, in the New Testament, the word Hosanna is associated with praise. But in the Old Testament, the word Hosanna, often recorded in the Psalms, means save. What they were shouting was, Lord, save us. Lord, save us. Why? And from what? What we read earlier in Mark's gospel, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Our Lord always showed deep compassion. And it's recorded on this. Why did he have compassion on them in this case? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them things. They had no shepherd. The king at that time might have been their shepherd, the one that they would look to, but he had no credibility at all. You know, some of the Bible stories that we read through, you know, Hollywood makes great play of them. We've seen this at the moment with the story of Noah. which is in the cinemas at the present time, or coming into the cinemas in the near future. Well, at this time, we've got a lovely dramatic story. King Herod Antipas, who wasn't a patch on his father, King Herod the Great, you know, King Herod the Great was the one that at the time of the birth of Jesus slaughtered all the children. Notorious. Quite a forceful king. But here we've got King Herod Antipas, who we might describe as a puppet monarch, who wanted two things. First of all, he wanted to be really recognized as the true king. And secondly, he wanted his brother's wife, Herodias. He managed the second by having a quickie divorce from his first wife, who was a foreign princess. And it was the kind of family where his brother let him have his wife. Quite, how can we describe in modern day terms? Quite a modern day situation. But you see, he had no credibility. So therefore, his first aim was very difficult. And Jesus recognized this. There were sheep without a shepherd. No one to direct them. No one to show them the true way. So it's not surprising on Palm Sunday they welcomed Jesus. He would be known for his teaching, for the miracles, all that had happened. And the excitement. Is this the new king? Is this the Messiah? Is this the one we have been looking forward to? The one who's going to help us get rid of the Romans? All the excitement. But all for the wrong reasons. You see, the cries of the people were heartfelt at the time. They were not just cries of praise and gratitude for all that had happened, but had a deeper significance. In 1918, Sergeant Major Robert S. McCormack saved the life of his company commander, Major Harry D. Parkin, on the battlefield in France. And we've been thinking a great deal about the First World War at this time. Every year, he wrote a letter of thanks to his sergeant major for saving his life. Another year's passed, another year I have, which I wouldn't have had if it had not been for you. Every year we come on Palm Sunday, at the beginning of a very, very important week, described as Holy Week. A week when we walk with Jesus on the Calvary Road. This is our time to sing, and we've worshiped this morning in this context, our time to sing Hosanna. Our time to give the praise, our time to recognize fully and completely what a great and wonderful God we have, and to thank Jesus that he was prepared to begin that walk to Jerusalem. But how does this relate to blind Bartimaeus? Well, if we compare the story of blind Bartimaeus with the story of Jesus coming to Jerusalem, there are some connections. Bartimaeus also cried out. He cried out. He'd been crying out for years. He'd been crying out for money. But here, he's aware that Jesus is coming. And Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" That's a key question that Jesus puts to each and every one of us. What do you want me to do for you? Now, does Bartimaeus play it safe and say, "I need money. I'm crying out, as I always do, for money"? No, Bartimaeus doesn't play it safe. He goes for the big one. "I want to see. I want to see. That's what I want from you, Jesus." You know, too many folk today, outside the church and within the church, play it very, very safe in their comfort. And they don't want to go for the big one. "I want to see." There are cataracts blurring the vision, which will eventually cause blindness. Satan is in the job of blinding. Blind eyes to see. See, the end of Mark's chapter 11, we've read the beginning of it, and into 12, Mark records a whole series of events which are a collection, and an important collection, an interrelated collection about the final days of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. The kingdom of God is coming. And when God becomes king, the one that they shouted on Palm Sunday, they fail to see, blind to the real purposes of God. You see, the healing of Bartimaeus wasn't the end of the story. If you look carefully at the end of that chapter, you'll see some words which are better translated "And immediately he saw again, and he followed him on the way." Now, the way was a term used by the early Christians before they used the word Christians. They were known as people of the way. Bartimaeus, when he regained his sight, followed Jesus on the way. There's no record, but I guess Bartimaeus was part of the ones following Jesus on that first Palm Sunday morning. In 1959, Billy Graham was invited to go to Moscow, but he was invited just to be a visitor. He was not allowed to preach at all. It was in the time, at the height of the Soviet Union, when there was great oppression happening in Russia and around in the Soviet Union, and Billy Graham went to Moscow. He was very nervous, and as he approached the immigration authorities and handed over his passport, the girl at the desk looked at it, smiled, and pointed upwards. And he knew straight away what she was saying. She was a Christian. I am part of the way, pointing upwards. I am part of the way. And blind Bartimaeus became part of the way. Once you tell Jesus what you want, the cry coming out from those on Palm Sunday, Hosanna, save me, and he does it for you, you don't really have much choice. You're part of the way, part of the people of the way. Once I was blind, says the great Amazing Grace, once I was blind, now I see. And the question comes to us this morning, have we seen? Have we seen? Have the blind eyes become such that we can see, to see again? Are we on that roadside crying, Hosanna? Or like blind Bartimaeus saying, Lord, I want to see. I want to see Jesus. See, many lessons can be learned from Palm Sunday. Hosanna was for a different kingdom. Mark is beginning the sequence which will take us to the foot of the cross, where Jesus in all humility will be crowned King of the Jews, but with a crown of thorns. God's way. Not our way, but God's way. Do we see it? Well, there are the cries, there are the cataracts. But what about the cloaks? At the end of verse 49, we read these words. He is calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up to his feet and came to Jesus. And then in Mark 11, when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks along the road. They threw their cloaks over it. Adrian Plass, one of the well-known Christian comics, comedians, and writer, in his book Bacon Sandwiches and Salvation, which in a sense is an unusual title for a book and would only be the sort of book that a comic would write. He defines the Baptist church, or churches as we would know them, Baptist churches as a denomination in which one senses that there's an awful lot going on under the surface. That's how he sees us. There's an awful lot going on under the surface. Well, we know what he's hinting at in that particular situation. Blind Bartimaeus had an awful lot going on under the surface. And the surface was his cloak. Very significant to him. You see, the cloak to Bartimaeus was his world. It was like a small tent that went around him. It kept him warm in winter, shade in summer. He had all his possessions under his cloak. The money that was given, no doubt, eventually would end up under the cloak. And we see, huddled as in verse 46, it says to us in verse 46, sitting by the roadside begging. And what do we see further on? He is calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. His world was beginning anew. Our cloaks, our world in which we feel safe and secure in our possessions and all around us, when Jesus calls, it's time to throw off our cloaks. As blind Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, his world to a new world, when Jesus called. They threw their cloaks over the colt. What does that tell us? They were prepared to serve Jesus. Are we prepared to serve? They threw their cloaks on the road. Well, no doubt what would happen is that the colt and those following Jesus would trample over their cloaks. Bit of a state afterwards. That was an act of sacrifice. Paul tells us in Romans 12 to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your true and proper worship. So I say to you simply this morning, in the context of Palm Sunday, are you throwing off your cloak? Because you've seen Jesus. Are you crying, Hosanna? Lord, save me. I want to see Jesus take my blindness away. Take my life. Take my world. I lay it before you and sacrifice at your feet. Let's pray together. Lord, we come this morning with those of old crying Hosanna, crying our praises. But Lord, we just want to recognize what that praise is for. That praise is for you, Lord, because you were on that road to Calvary. You were on that way to the cross. That cross, which for us means salvation. And we want to thank you, Lord, this morning. We want to praise your name, and we pray, Lord, this morning, that we might indeed just throw off all the things that crowd into our lives, that take us away from seeing you properly and clearly. We lay our lives in sacrifice, as you were ready and willing to sacrifice your life for us, that we might know salvation, that we might know eternal life. We want to give you praise and thanks. So accept our praise, Lord Jesus. For we ask it in your precious name. Amen.